Blog Talk Radio.
Ready for it. This is Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. How are you, Tasila?
I'm doing very good. God bless you, Pastor T. Good to hear your voice. I haven't heard it for a while.
Okay. And, just on a real serious note, I want to lift up the Shelby family before the Lord. Asking the Lord to comfort them and mend their hearts for the loss of our very dear friend, William Shelby, a very talented singer, musician, songwriter, and producer. A lot of you out there, many of you are familiar with his work. He performed with Dynasty. He wrote and performed with Dynasty and have been a member of Lakeside actually for a few years. So William has written many songs for various artists on the Solar label. So you probably sung a lot of his songs and didn't even realize it was him. So thank you, Lord. We just lift up the Shelby family and all of William's friends and co-workers. We lift them all up and ask that you mend their hearts and in Jesus' holy name.
What was one of the songs that Shelby wrote? What was the song? And the beat was, which one was it?
Second Time Around. It's been quite a few of them. He's written for.
Yeah, he wrote for
with Shalamar.
Yeah, also. Right.
Yeah, and a few others. And a few others. He was really a songwriting machine. So rest in peace, William Shelby, a very long-time friend of ours. Thank you, Jesus.
We gotta give his other name also.
His nickname when he was a little kid was Naughty, you know, and he's very talented. He used to just, you know, he was always around when we was rehearsing and stuff. And for a long time, I didn't know that he could sing. And then finally, you know, I heard, Naughty could sing. That's what we called him, William. Naughty can sing, and then he started getting into the keyboard, started really getting into his music, and we were really proud when he came out to Los Angeles and became a part of the Solar family. So our heart goes out to Thomas Shelby, his big brother, who was a guest on our show a couple of months ago, I think. So, yes, it goes out to them. And also, while you're all on the line, just don't forget to encourage your friends and your family members and tell them to dial in right now. Our number, you know the number, 646-668-8537. Or if you see the post of this show on a picture of T. Meyer and Tasila, just click on our picture. You might see us on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, or wherever. And if you see the post on Instagram, we'll have the number, 646-668-8537. Just dial the number or click on our picture, and you can listen to the entire program while you're on your computer. Sounds pretty good, huh? All righty. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
really
so now, before we do anything else, we got something else coming up that we have to do. Most of you know this. That means it's a T. Meyer and Tusila moment. We call it a TNT moment. All right. Pastor Tusila, what do we have for today?
Oh, we have a loaded question that's beautiful. And you, I'm telling you, I can answer it like 10 different ways, but today I'm going to try a whole new way. And that is miracle and healings for today. And, you know,
good question.
They're asking, is it, is healing still available, like in the days of old?
Yes.
And on auto, I would like to say yes, definitely.
Yes.
It's almost like asking, does the blood work?
Right, yes, it does.
Because we all know that it never loses its power. It is the power in the name of Jesus and his authority that's over all sicknesses and diseases. But the reason why I want to go at this a whole nother way is because people kind of know that, but when they get into certain situations like terminal sicknesses, you know, I would like to take this time to give some instructions on healing, especially when it's a terminal sickness that could lead to death. And first of all, God is always willing to heal. That's number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it says by his stripes we are healed. God sent his son specifically for that purpose. So I love to inform people about the court system that's in heaven. I always say it's a legal system, and it has a counsel, and I know this to be true, that it does, because I heard them rule on people before. And someone else can intercede for you, but it would behoove you that you be in the right place, in the right standing with the Lord as the prayers are going up. And here's something. Can you be healed by faith? Sure. Can you be healed without knowing that God healed you? Yes. And you later realize that a healing took place? Absolutely. All those things happen all the time. But now I'm speaking to the problematic healing situation, the stubborn, unhealed situations that feel like it has a legal right to be there after you have prayed that by his stripes I am healed 10 to 15 times and the situation remains. After you have repented from any sin and have asked for unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment to be cleansed from your heart, then you yourself must snatch all the legal rights from the enemy that has invaded your body. This must be presented to the courts in heaven, because the enemy that kills, steals, and destroys feels like he has a legal right. So in the infamous words of Jesus that he will not share your body with another, you must invade heaven knowing that it is God's will always to heal you. And I want to do something a little different tonight and speak now to terminal illnesses and to say that you must die in the name of Jesus. Every malignant growth, tumor, rebellious cells, cysts, curse of pestilence, dies in the name of Jesus. Every abnormality in the lymphatic system, muscular system, skeletal system, I need you Christians to start holding up your hands and speaking over your own bodies. Quit trying to run to the doctor all the time. You have a great physician, and hold your hands and put them on your body and speak over your urinary system, your digestive system, your circulatory system, your endocrine system, nervous system, reproductive system, systems with the respiratory that people are having a bad problem with, must line up according to the word of God. I speak to every spirit of death, hell, and grave and command you to come out in the name of Jesus. We have to speak over this airwaves. So, and you take this to heart, what God is doing, and say that now that disease or infirmities and sicknesses cannot hide in my body. I say that every word curse, hex, vexation, spell spoken against me cannot prosper. The word of God in Mark 16:18 says, they shall take up serpents. That means you, the one who have received Christ. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You have to know who you are and what authority God has already given you over this system, over this world. Everybody's crying about what's going on, but God gave you authority. He said, you shall take up serpents and drink, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. They shall lay That's hands right. on the sick, and they shall recover. Therefore, I say that any therapy or medical treatment administered will not even harm you. A lot of times people don't want to go through different processes to be healed because they feel like the things they're going to do for them is going to be more damaging. But you have to even speak over that. Even if you're getting chemotherapy yeah. or if you're getting cancer therapy, you have to say, these things will not harm me or do any damage to me, but will be an yeah. instrument of correction. That's what you call those things that are not as though they are. And I say that according to Job 33:25, that your flesh will be fresher than a child's, and I will return yeah. to the days of my youth. You have to declare that because you hear something that God is telling you too that's a little key. He says, because I am a tither, the devourer will be rebuked. And that is very interesting. God wants the enemy not to have a legal right to bring anything. Once something starts devouring, it doesn't stop. It starts on your body too. So you have to rebuke the devourer. And that scripture said, because I'm a tither, the devourer will be rebuked. And I receive the promises according to Psalms, you have to say, 103. The Lord forgives my iniquities and heals my diseases. Stand on the word of God. And I thank God for that total victory in Jesus' name. You have to say the 3-4 cold of death, hell, and the grave has already been defeated by the precious blood of Jesus. Early death and his strongholds are broken. So when you hear another virus hits, don't be afraid. Only believe that your breath is from heaven. Breathe in God's Yes. Holy Spirit and live. And remember, it is the Father's good will to give you the kingdom and the power. So his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So discern for yourself what is of God and what's not, and bind those things and make yourself exactly what God has created you to be. Don't allow Satan to tell you anything different. God has great plans for you. He already wrote them out. And it's good, he said. It's not evil. So anything that you see is of the dark realm and the sickness and disease and devouring, you know where it came from. Stand up and rebuke it in the name of the Holy One. Right, Pastor T?
Oh, absolutely. That was great. Absolutely. We have to stand on that word. Stand on it and believe in it. Have trust in him. Yes, indeed. Is God doing miracles and healings today? Is it for today? Yes, it is. God is a God of miracles, of healings, of signs and wonders. It really bothers me when I hear ministers, preachers, pastors, and clergymen say that miracles were for in the Old Testament or only during the times of the apostles and the early church back then, but he doesn't do miracles today. They're saying God doesn't do miracles today. That bothers me to no end. Have they forgotten the scripture that says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever? Everything that God did in the past to this very day is and was a miracle. He still performs miracles. He hasn't changed. Psalm 102, verse 27. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. Even when God created the heavens and the earth, he created all things by speaking his word. That alone was a miracle. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. If he did miracles back then he is still doing miracles now. Miracles and healings right now. Jesus is our example. Why do you think he had his disciples to follow him? They were being trained to do his ministry. People, we are being trained in this hour to do God's miracles, to do his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Jesus still heals today. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. He hasn't stopped healing. Jesus, or better yet, his disciples had to witness his miracles, his healings, his signs and wonders, because they were required to do the same in their time. That's why they had to witness it, because they were required to, that they were going to be doing, the day was going to come that they will be doing these miracles. And we are to do the same thing today. In this hour, we're being trained because we are required to do the ministry of Jesus Christ. And his ministry is with miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. Jesus wanted, he wanted his disciples to start exercising faith. So he gave them a test. He sent out 70. He sent them out two by two to minister to the people, and they were ecstatic when they returned to him because they would command demons to come out of the people in Jesus' name, and they immediately came out. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. These were miracles. Why do you think the people in Antioch, back in the day, the people in Antioch called the saints Christians? Because they presented themselves as Christ-like people by doing the very works, the miracles, the healings that Jesus did. Therefore, they called them Christians, little anointed ones, Christ-like people. Acts 11, verse 26, and when he, Barnabas, had found him, Paul, he brought him unto Antioch, the city of Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, and then it spread. Jesus told us what the signs are that will follow those who truly believe in him. Once again, here's what the Lord said in Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing or get any deadly jab, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. When we truly give our hearts to the Lord then gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us bearing gifts. miracles and healings are among the gifts of the Holy Spirit that all true believers freely receive. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh, that means they continually work, that one and the same or the self-same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Nothing has changed. We still are receiving these gifts to this day, and we are to use these gifts as the Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit came because the Holy Spirit came because Jesus ascended up to the Father in order to return to us in spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that his work can continue through us. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, it is Jesus doing the works through us by his Spirit. Jesus said himself in John chapter 14, verse 12, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that means we have to continually believe on him, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He had to go. We cannot do the works of Jesus Christ at all except for the fact that he ascended up to the Father. By us being able to do miracles and healing, signs and wonders today is only the result of Jesus ascending up to the Father and then returning to us by means of his Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord being in us. So, yes, to answer that question, God is still doing miracles. God is still healing. God is still performing signs and wonders. He never stopped. God works through us, or he can even work directly from heaven to earth if he wants to, and that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to do both. He's going to work through us and direct from heaven to earth. Bang! You haven't seen anything yet. Listen to me, everybody. You haven't seen anything yet. God is not finished with his creation. He is not finished with us, his people, his church, because the greatest miracle he is going to perform, and listen to this, the greatest miracle that God is going to perform in this hour is the miracle in us, changing us into the full and complete likeness and image of the glorified Jesus Christ. Not the Jesus Christ that walked the shores of Galilee. That's our sacrificial lamb. He did that so that he could die for our sins. But now that he's resurrected, he's glorified, and we take on that image, the glorified image. The world is about to witness the greatest move of the Holy Spirit like never seen or experienced before since the beginning of the creation of the heavens and the earth. God is going to move in a way that will shut the mouths of the skeptics, the atheists, the witches, warlocks, and wizards of governments. He's going to shut the mouth of governments. He will shut the mouth of the media and secret ungodly societies and all non-believers. He will put them all to silence because the world will see once and for all that God the Father is real and that Jesus Christ is truly Lord. Whew. Well, I guess that's it. That's it for our TNT moment. Don't forget to send us some feedback after the show. Yeah, send us some feedback. You can contact us if you have any questions. Send us an email. You can send us an email to christiantalkr@gmail.com. I'll repeat that, christiantalkr @gmail.com. We will reply to you. You can even put your phone number down, and we will call you. If you want us to call you, put your number down, and we'll give you a call. Don't forget to check out our Christian Talk page on Facebook. Just friend me. My page is open, so you can go right ahead and go right into it. And when you go into it, look on the left side, you'll see pages. And just click on pages on the left side. And then when you do that, you'll see Christian Talk. Click on Christian Talk, and you're in. So visit us, okay? Don't go away. Just hold on to your seat, because we will be right back with our special guest after this. Don't leave.
The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will win. You will win. You win.
You're gonna win, yeah.
are listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. And now our special guests for today. Are you ready, Tasila? For our special guests? Our special guest for today is Dorian Shockey. Dorian Shockey. Dorian is the owner and coach of CrossFit Resurgence, a strength and conditioning center in Atlanta, Georgia. And Dorian has, he's been married to a very strong Christian woman, very strong, very beautiful lady, Angel Shockey. And they have two beautiful daughters, little sweethearts, Sayla and Callie. Let's just welcome Dorian Shockey. Yay! Can you hear the crowd, Dorian? Hi. How are you, my brother?
Doing well, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine, man. We're excited for tonight. You know that first of all, you're going to have to tell us about this CrossFit Resurgence thing, this conditioning that you do. Tell us a little bit about that. And then just tell us a little bit about you and your testimony.
Yeah, absolutely, partner. CrossFit Resurgence at Strength and Conditioning Center, as long as you have known me, Pastor T, I've actually been in fitness. It started off when I moved to California from small town Ohio. I got a job as a personal trainer and met Angel, my wife, and quickly when I met her, I realized that I need to be able to make a living to be able to support us if I was going to be able to propose to her one day. And so I took the means of working through the company I was with and working up in management to the extent that they promoted me to a position actually in Atlanta, and I was part of the way that we got to transition to Atlanta from California back in 2006. Mm-hmm. And I worked my way under company management and then moved to Atlanta in supervision. And from there, I always actually thought I was going to get out of fitness. It was something I loved to do personally and regards to just taking care of myself. But being in corporate wellness, the attraction that I had when I first started off as a trainer and working with people in a one-on-one setting, working with individuals to help them reach their goals, their personal goals for fitness, for health, for life, that got sidetracked with the business side of things, hitting budgets and quotas and managing the
right.
team. And so I actually thought I was always going to get out of it until I ran into what is a fitness program, which is called CrossFit. And it is basically a functional performance training type of exercising that we do that is based upon high-intensity movements, functional movements, meaning things that you do every day, squatting, bending, pushing, pulling, running, jumping, picking things up, putting things down. And we do that in a form that is structured in a group setting and that is geared toward each person's individual goals. And so when I fell into this program, I realized this is something that I wanted to continue to do on my own as an entrepreneur. And God took me through a 3-year journey from 2009 to 2012 until I was able to be in a position, until we were able to be in a position to be able to start our own business, start our own gym, and grow it from there. That's how it kind of got started. That's how I got into fitness as well. And this is actually our 9-year anniversary this month of being open. So it's been a blessing, one that God has led from the beginning. It's been a remarkable ride just to see how he's done the work and has received the glory for it.
Well, Dorian, did you train Angel?
You know, so she does train at the gym, yes. From the beginning, she was
Angel,
in there.
I was so impressed with her. I was like, girl, look at you. She was so built. It was beautiful the way, from her transition. Because I hadn't seen her in years. And she and your children, too, are so gorgeous. I want to bring that out, too. They are really beautiful.
Thank you, Pastor Tasila. And I don't know, I could be completely wrong, but was that you on the song that was playing in intermission?
You mean singing?
Yes.
No, that No, that wasn't me, okay. But my daughter sings that song, and it sounds maybe a little better, but
okay. I knew that, you know, obviously a family full of artists, and I was like, man, I would not be surprised if that is somebody within the T. Meyer family. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of them do music, the kids do. But Angel, I saw her when she came here for Shirley's homegoing, and she
yes.
was so beautiful. And I said, she's been in the gym. So can you go back a little bit?
Yeah, you can tell
about
right away.
What did you, right away, she looked very good.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say that, how does that work versus like a regular gym? What you're doing?
Well, in regards to, per se, the structure of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
The training.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
yeah.
Yep, yep, yep. So, you know, when you think about your typical gym, you can think about back in the day, the company that I actually started with, Valley Total Fitness, before they went bankrupt and LA Fitness bought them out. But nowadays, you can think of LA Fitness or 24-Hour Fitness. Or, you know, even going back to even before that, Gold's Gym, the traditional Globo Gym, before some of these other
right.
brands came into the market and whatnot, you know, your gym is set up for a membership. It's set up for a membership, though, that is also factored on the point that most people are not going to come in on a regular basis on their own. The numbers, you know, when I was in the industry in a corporate setting, you know, we knew that only 3% of the membership base came in more than 3 times a month.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about that, that's astounding. You know, they're built on knowing that, yes, we're going to sign you up for a membership. You're going to say you're going to come. You're going to act like you're going to come. You might come and get, you know, initially motivated for a few weeks and stuff like that, but they ultimately know you're going to fall off and that the majority of people are not going to come in, and that's how they continue to have so big of a market share, you know, but so few of them actually come in, you know. And so for us, the difference is that, one, we're not ever going to be, you know, the CrossFit style gym is never going to be nearly as big as your typical Globo gym. It's much more community driven. It's much more relationship driven, you know, from the standpoint of
yeah.
that we know everyone that comes in to the gym. We know everyone, you know, is there for a reason. And you don't have to hold their hand. They're there because they've gotten
yeah.
to the point where they realize everything that I've been trying to do at a Globo gym or at a large gym setting and whatnot, I have not been able to do on my own, and I need to go to a transition to a place that is going to be centered for me with like-minded people that are looking for the same types of results and are going to be able to push me and motivate me in a group class setting, as opposed to just going in and trying to do exercises on my own, you know. And it's even different from personal training. And the way that it's different from personal training is that with personal training, I mean, you're in California, you know, fitness is always a priority, you know, for many of the people in California and whatnot, you know, especially in the Los Angeles area.
Right.
You know, if everyone could afford a personal trainer, they would. But the degree of how expensive it is to keep a personal trainer and to do it regularly makes it very unaffordable for most people. They just don't have that much disposable income. And so where the group training format that we use comes into play is that it's more than your general membership that you would pay to a regular type of gym setting, but it's much less than you would pay for personal training. And you still get the benefit mm-hmm. of working out with a coach that is certified, that is experienced, and that is tenured in knowing what to do and how to train people at different fitness levels and abilities without having to pay, you know, the substantial price that can come with a personal trainer one-on-one.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
Did you come up with that? That's very unique. Is that
yeah.
your baby that you created, that system?
Oh, no. No. You know, CrossFit really didn't per se reinvent anything. But no, I didn't. It was not something I made up. The creator has now since actually sold his portion of the company and whatnot. But it's by a man named Greg Glassman, actually. And it started off in California, started off in the Santa Cruz area back in the early 2000s. Yeah, you know, but group training has always been around. You did it in actual, you know, global gyms again, but it was in the format of aerobic classes, you know. And so what CrossFit did, they took it. Yes. Mm-hmm. CrossFit took it and it gave it a different identity, basically, you know, one that was attractive to a certain, you know, demographic. You know, and the way the fitness industry looks is, and like any industry, but the fitness industry, you take a pie chart and you look at that pie chart and you see how much of the market can I get. And the global gyms will always have the largest market. But then what started to happen in the market was you started to see, you know, besides like very small boutique personal training gyms, which had maybe, you know, 3% of the market, you know, and the global gyms were making up 80% of the market, and then the other, you know, 17% was made up of various things. What you started to see within the fitness market was other gyms trying to then get a niche. So there was the small boutique 24-hour gyms where there was very low maintenance, there was very low overhead, there was very low need for employees. And so those came in,
right?
That was the Anytime Fitness and the Workout Anytimes and Snap Fitness and those types of smaller gyms. They gave you everything you would want at an LA Fitness, but in a much smaller package, you know. That took a little bit of the market. And then the group started to then other things started to kind of find their niche. And then when CrossFit came in, it opened up a market for a lot of group training. And that's where you see, if you're familiar with Orange Theory Fitness, if you're familiar with, you know, a lot of the boot camp style stuff that you see out there that's kind of, you know, created their own little niche for having a small retail spot, but you can fit a lot of people in to a group class setting, that kind of helped open up the market for that. So the market share has you know, it's still geared towards the global gyms, but it's definitely been picking up a lot with those types of gyms.
Okay, well, tell me this, Dorian. Were you brought up in a Christian household, or, you know, were your parents Christians, or what was that?
Yep. So, great question, Pastor T. Yes, I was born and raised in a Christian household. My mother and father took my brothers and I to church as young as I can remember. We were in church on Wednesdays and Sundays, and twice on Sundays. You remember those? You go on Sunday morning and you got to go back Sunday afternoon. Yep. You know, the worst thing as a kid was having to get dressed up again. mother and father, you know, made sure that we were in the church and whatnot, you know. To give you a little background, my mother was completely different than my father. And I say that because my father was the quiet, soft-spoken type of man that, you know, the best way I've always heard someone describe his demeanor was, you know, your father doesn't say much, but when he talks, people listen, you know. But my mother, on the other hand, was very, very, very boisterous, very loud. She was definitely the disciplinarian in the household. Her nickname was Rambe from all of our friends because of how rough she was with my brothers and I whenever we would mess up.
Can you say that nickname again, Dorian? It went past me. What was that?
It was Rambe instead of Rambo. Yeah. So, she ruled us with a paddle with holes in it, and it had little drawings of our buns, and she had it on the paddle and a magic marker, yo buns. And so anyway, just give you a little bit of background into, yes, we were raised in the church. We knew of God from a very young age, And even for my brothers and I, you know, accepted Christ at a young age. So, yeah, that was definitely our upbringing, you know, in small town Ohio in a Baptist setting.
I was wondering, you know, being brought up in the church and still there came that time when you started developing your own relationship. At what point was it, and what initiated that, that you really felt the need to really give your whole heart to the Lord on your own when you start really realizing God was real?
I had, you know, having two older brothers. One was my oldest brother is 13 years older than me, and then my middle brother is 5 years older than me. I had a more mature upbringing at a young age than mm-hmm. you know, if I hadn't had the separation age there. So I remember accepting, you know, God is my Savior, Christ is my Savior at a young age. I don't have it written down, but I remember vividly accepting God at probably around the age of 6 or 7 years old. And I just remember going home and actually going to my bedroom and just going on my knees in my room, just crying, you know, and just realizing, you know, how much I needed him to forgive me of my sins and as I needed him as my Savior, you know. Now I wish I could tell you that my the rest of my life as an adolescent, you know, was spiritually shook and alive, you know, but it wasn't. We were just talking about this actually in my men's group yesterday. You know, I just remember, you know, the ups and downs, the roller coaster of knowing that my salvation was complete, that nothing I could do would ever have it taken away, but also not living for Christ in a manner that would honor him as I was growing up during that time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I think we all have some of that in our story. You know,
early on,
we realized Jesus was real, and then we just forgot and started doing our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll call us back in. Come on, let's go.
Indeed, indeed.
Mm-hmm. I remember having a dream, and I was in the car with people. They were smoking weed and doing all kind of stuff. And I was just thinking about the dream the Lord gave me, but I was like, if I tell them, they don't want to hear it, you know.
Right.
And it becomes a place where you can't beat the system at some point, so you kind of join in. But it's like later on he comes back. I meant what I said. Let's go.
You know, mm-hmm.
We all have that.
You know, I was...
come in and then kind of, you know, don't realize that. We could have been doing better earlier,
mm-hmm.
but we took a detour.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sometimes we have to learn the hard way. Sometimes it's hard to get through our thick heads. We have to learn the hard way. But you know, Dorian, I was reading something that you wrote on Facebook, and.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, could you share that with us?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So, you know, pick up, you know, I guess back after where I left off with starting the business and whatnot in 2012, I knew from the beginning that any business that I was going to be able to do, you know, was going to be, have to be honoring of God, you know, it had to be structured to honor God and to put him first. And you know, that came down to my decision-making, how the business was run and so on and so forth. So fast forward, you know, several years and God has blessed the business tremendously. He's built a culture and a foundation with our members that, you know, only he could have done. You know, I look back on it to this day, and it's just there's no way that we could be where we are to this day if it wasn't God's hand on it. And because it just is just we literally started Pastor T with no members in a small business park with no visibility and no type of marketing. And I remember just opening up that day one, knowing that no one was actually going to walk in the doors because we didn't have any members, and just wondering, like, well, how are you going to start getting people to come in, you know? And right. One by one, this guy just slowly, I don't even say slowly, it wasn't slow. It was God's timing. It was perfect timing about people that he brought in and how he grew us year over year to where we are to this day. But, you know, I say that because just to kind of give you background on where it was 9 years ago and fast forwarding now in the past, you know, 2 to 3 years. And during that time, you know, there's a lot of things that had to go into building the business, a lot of time that had to be spent in the business, you know, to get it to where it is as well. Long hours, a lot of late nights, you know, working the weekends, working on Saturdays. And that meant also time away from the family. And at that time when we started the business in 2012, Selah was my oldest, which is now 13. She was 4 years old. And Callie, our youngest, was just over 2 years old. And, you know, I say that because, you know, there's a, you know, starting a business with a young family, that it took a lot of dedication. It took a lot of time, you know, and although being able to run a business for yourself and to reap the benefits and the rewards of the hard work that you put into it for you and your family, it also meant taking a lot of time away from my girls and away from my family. And through that, you know, although working hard and having that mentality that was just ingrained in me from my parents as well, it also took me away from my family. And as even as things got better and I was able to balance things better, you know, my priorities were such that I wasn't able to give up the command, the control that I should have. I should have delegated, you know, to where I could spend more time with my family, more time with my devotion, more time with walking with God and seeking him and whatnot. So that being said, in 2019, out of the blue, I just started having some back issues. I started having some health issues, you know, and, you know, I think it's timely in just your guys' message from earlier is healing still available, you know, and I say that because, you know, I then was struck with some significant health issues with, you know, debilitating to the point where I wasn't able to proceed to do my job the way I've always been able to do it, due to this back injury that I had. And, so for the first few months, it went back and forth in terms of getting better and then kind of getting worse and feeling like I was recovering and then not recovering. And it was really unexplainable. It was something that I had never experienced before, and it was something that was very debilitating and also just disconcerting to the point where I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know how to treat it. I didn't know. I just didn't have any answers for myself or even how to go about doing it. So that proceeded the rest of 2019. And towards the end of 2019, I really thought that I was going to be able to go into 2020 and hopefully have an injury-free 2020. And so 2019 was filled with this injury, but it was also filled with me, you know, seeking treatment, trying chiropractic care, trying physical therapy, you know, doing various other things to try and help and heal it, researching on my own and whatnot, you know. But my focus was on myself. And my focus was on my injury and getting better so I could get back to doing everything that I had done before. All the working out, all the exercising, all the fitness, all the physical attributes that, you know, that I obtained and wanted to feel like I had again, the way my clothes fit, all those things. And mm-hmm. so 2020 turns, and my birthday's in January, and I'm feeling better. I'm feeling like I'm finally getting a little bit more progress, and that, you know, it's going to go away, and I'm going to be able to go into 2020, you know, and get back to 100%. And I'm already looking forward to, you know, the physical training I'm going to be able to do on my own. I'm already looking forward to, you know, being able to kind of get back into a routine of how I manage, how I coach, how I train my members and everything. And
right.
on my birthday, of all days, we were at Dick's Sporting Goods, and I was trying on some sweatpants. And as I tried on my sweatpants, I felt this spasm / injury in my back occur. And at first I was like, nah, it's I'm just trying on sweats. There's no way I hurt my back trying on sweats. It's fine. It'll go away. By the end of that day, I could barely walk. We were trying to go. I loved getting pizza on my birthday, and we were going to get pizza, and I was trying to work my way through it and trying to just enjoy the rest of my birthday with my girls. And I could literally barely walk. I could barely sit down. It was the pain was that excruciating. Next day I woke up in the morning and it was even worse. And then for the next 2 weeks, I was just in just debilitating pain. And during that 2 weeks, I was all over the place mentally and emotionally. You know, I couldn't understand what was happening. I couldn't work. I was barely able to get around. And I was just emotional mess, crying, asking God why, going through all types of just thoughts in regards to what it was going to mean, what I was going to have to do, if it was going to require surgery, if it was surgery, if I was ever going to be able to recover, if I was ever going to be able to be, you know, exercise again, if I was going to be able to work, if I was going to be able to provide for my family, how was I going to go about managing the business? How are we going to be able to afford surgery? I mean, there's just so many things that came in my mind. And to be completely open with you guys, anxiety and fear overwhelmed me. It overwhelmed me to the point where, you know, I was in a place mentally that you don't even know how you got there, you know?
Right.
And you know, so, seeing all the blood scenes in my life, I was just like, God, I was at a point to be completely open with you guys and the listeners where I didn't know how I was going to be able to go on.
Yeah. How was Angel coping with all this?
Angel's always been, you know, such a pillar in my life, you know. And I say pillar because, you know, God, always look at God as the foundation, you know. But she's been that structure that holds up, you know, the house that is on that foundation, you know. And for our family and our girls and whatnot, you know. And so, you know, she was always there. She was always encouraging me. She was always lifting me up. She was praying over me.
Dorian, hold on. Let me interrupt, because you may have moved to a different part of the house because your phone was breaking up.
No, I'm still in the same place.
No,
can you hear me now? Is it still okay?
Now I can hear you. Yeah, now I can hear you really good.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
You were
saying how Angel was a pillar. Yeah.
Yes. Angel was a pillar, just, you know, in regards to her encouraging me, you know, praying over me, and just, you know, and just letting me know that it was going to be okay and that I was going to get better and that this wasn't going to last. And it was just a period of time and my body would, you know, heal and get back together and whatnot, you know. And she had a lot of emotional talks with me because I was emotional with her a lot. You know, I know my burden on her was great because she had never seen me like that before. I'd never been like that before, you know? And,
right.
And, you know, just the things that I would share with her, you know, I'm sure took her back to like to place where she probably never thought she would be, you know, in trying to answer questions and trying to console me in ways that she never probably thought she would have to, you know.
Right.
But she
exactly.
was definitely a you know, a much needed light in my life that God has, and she always has been, that God has provided, you know, for me. So yeah, you know, that was definitely, I just thank God that she was as strong as she was, because it was definitely hard on us and on her for sure. In fact, it got to the point where I was more worried about my burden on her than just on myself, you know, because of how much it was causing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Dorian, did they medically come up with a condition for you?
Yep, you know, so I started going to try
this
and see.
This happened recently, and someone said that their muscles were in, like, had bulged out from the position against their spine, but mm-hmm. I don't know what they were saying for you. What were they saying?
Yeah, so
you?
It sounds probably very similar. It's, you know, it's not uncommon to some extent. But yes, I had some what's called herniated disc in my back. And so it is a condition where, you know, it could be through exercise. It could be through, you know, bad movement. It could just be through, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, per se, you know, where the disc that sit between your vertebrae extrude out, and then they can press on nerves. They can press on other muscles, you know, and that can cause, you know, contortion. That can cause extreme pain. That can cause, you know, to the point where, you know, you can lose, you know, bodily function, you know. And so thankfully, you know, as bad as mine was, it wasn't to the point where I couldn't function, per se. I just wasn't not even nearly myself, you know, and it was in constant pain. And so there's this battle that happened, you know, and it turned from a physical battle to a spiritual battle. And the spiritual battle was the most eye-opening part of what I went through, because even as I was able to slowly start to progress and get better, I was still in this perpetual state of fear and anxiety about the future, about the what ifs that were you know, out there, you know, that I was unsure of.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And all that, all that led from my focus being on myself, being on my personal, you know, goals, my personal feelings, my personal needs, and not being focused upward, you know, and upward on God, and then outward on others, you know. It was all about me. It was all about me. Mm-hmm. And so through this process of 2020 now, you know, after it already lingered for all of 2019, God revealed and began to reveal things to me that it wasn't just about the physical mishap. It was about the spiritual healing that I needed to have, the spiritual reckoning that he needed to reveal to me and open my eyes to see. And so when I take it back to January 4th, my birthday, when this injury basically reoccurred and it was like the finality of all this that had happened in 2019 coming to conclusion, what I saw in 2019 was my focus was on getting back to where I was. And God wanted to take me past that to where he wanted me to take, where he wanted to have me. And so all my focus is on me and getting to this point and being able to do this again. And I think, and I believe that God basically said, Dorian, I'm not going to let you go back there again. I didn't take you through all that in 2019 for you to just go back to focusing on yourself again, to focusing on your own personal needs, to prioritizing yourself over and over and over again, over your family, over your wife, over your faith, over whatever, you know. And so that was the tipping point. That was the tipping point that then 2020 started to, you know, slowly started peeling back the layers of onions on me, you know, and showing to me areas that God wanted to work on. And so as I was physically healing and getting better, God was dealing with me on the spiritual side of things. And and that was the way more, you know, important part. You know, as you Pastor Cecile, as you had said, you know, the journey of you know, as being saved as a, you know, as a young age, and then going through the ups and downs of adolescence, of teenage years, of whatever, you know, just years that you maybe you're not walking close with God. You know, it's almost similar, the journey that happened in 2020, which was having to see where God wanted to take me and where I was at. And for him to take me there, he had to start breaking down all these strongholds that were there that were more important than him. And I heard a pastor say, you know, we have a real easy way of not aligning up what we say and what we do, you know. And that was me.
Mm-hmm.
What I said was this. Mm-hmm. What I was doing was this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, that is so good, Dorian, because that's something that I am a stickler for. Line up your mouth with your heart. And sometimes we think we get so delusional that we feel because we are saying things and acting a certain way, but then God will open up your heart and say, that's not in your heart. That's not real, you know. So what you're saying has to be what's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting. That's a whole new level in Christianity, though, when people begin to speak the truth that's in their heart out of their mouths. And even Jesus kind of talks about that all the time. When he said it's not what goes in your mouth, it what comes out of your heart, out of your mouth. Because they were trying to tell them they need to clean up, wash their hands. He said your outer part, that's not important. What's really important is what's in your heart that comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times that lining up your heart with your mouth and being correct in that area, or not with just your mouth, but with life, period. You got to come to
with
reality unless you be just living a lie.
Yeah.
Living a lie.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, in the business industry, I tell clients, you know, all the time, you know, that it's a terrible thing to know what you're supposed to do and then not do it. And then every time I say it, though, I feel that little tap on the back of my brain, like, huh, that sounds good, Dorian. You know, you need to think about that a little bit more, you know.
Right.
Oh, in every area, all of us can always grow. That's why we have this, so that we can speak it out, talk it out, and then we can figure it, let the Holy Spirit show us. We all have to continually grow until we enter into the kingdom. So nobody is above learning and getting, you know, to the what God has in store for us. But that is so interesting. I love that story, and I love that how the Lord is dealing with you. Because, you know, the reality of walking the walk is real and deep, you know. We could talk about it, but when it's the road meets the rubber, when it's our lives that, you know, we got to come up with the goods. And the Lord's like, okay, you can talk a good talk and say this and that, but now let me see, you know, when situations arise, then we see what we're made of. Do I trust God for real? Am I loving people for real?
Yes.
Or am I just going through the motions because I have to? Or, you know, you start getting to the details and God will pull it out, man. And I'll tell you, he'll put your whole face in the mirror.
And, you know, and just to touch upon something that you had said earlier within touching upon healing and the physical healing and whatnot, you know, I know for me, the physical healing was a bonus, you know, but I also realized that God was trying to get my attention. And the way he got my attention was through the physical side of things, you know. And you know, we never know. You know, I was asking God why. And fortunately, God revealed it to me, you know. Fortunately, God revealed to me why. I believe why I went through, you know, the physical injury that I had, and that was bigger than what I was considering it to be. You know, it was God was trying to heal me spiritually so that I could be a better use to Him in some way, somehow. You know, and that was one of my reasons, Pastor T, for sharing my testimony. Was you know, I felt like it was time, you know, from a standpoint of that, you know, when we look at social media, so much of the things we share on there is about, hey, look at this, look how my life is, look how nice this is, or, you know, we try to paint this this incredible picture and stuff, you know. And for the longest time, when I was injured, I didn't want people to know I was injured, because I didn't want them to think, oh, you can get injured doing what you do. You know, you're going to
right.
Like, well, what's that? You know what I mean? And so, you know, the pride in me also was almost trying to cover things up, you know, like trying to act like, no, it's just, you know, so yeah, I'm dealing with that, but, you know, it's okay, you know. And, you know, and so it was also just to share, like, you know, hey, you know what? Yes, I went through this. Yes, this happened, you know, but it was the means for what God took me through. You know, I can look back on it now and am so grateful for it, you know, so grateful for it. I know one of the things that it did
really
as well
learned.
Was...
You learned that he loves you, huh?
And it made my faith more real, and it helped me to walk closer to him, you know. And you know, the spiritual battles, you know, you see things, you know, that I never would experience had God not taken me through that, you know. And I think that's the beauty sometimes when you're going through different ordeals, when you're going through different trials, is, again, for me, you know, this is still constant, you know, I still have to battle with this on a daily basis, is to take my focus off myself and put my focus on God and on others, you know, looking upward. Job was such a powerful book for me to read through during that time as well, and to get a better understanding of God in His sovereignty, you know.
Well, you know, it's good that you went through that to learn, to get you closer to the Lord. Sometimes it's, you don't want to go through certain things, but sometime, and the Lord knows that it's necessary that you go through something hard, so that you can have a better relationship with Him. And just like you said, when you look back on it, you thank the Lord for it, and you can see it's all worth it. So now, where are you?
Where am I in regards to? Oh, I was going to tell you, I was, you know, with Job, I, you know, one of the things that I read in Job and studying and whatnot is that, you know, God ordains, I'll read it to you just verbatim, God ordains children walk in sorrow and pain, sometimes because of sin, sometimes for chastening, sometimes for strengthening, and sometimes to give opportunity to reveal His comfort and grace. But then there are times when the compelling issue and the suffering of the saints is unknowable, because it's a heavenly purpose that those on earth can't discern. You know, and then through that all, I had to ask myself, Dorian, if you don't get better, are you still going to trust in God? You know, are you still going to follow Him? You know, and you know, as I saw God at work in my life and what He was really trying to do, I just had to trust, you know. And it's no, again, that I might not get all the answers, but He is sovereign, and He is in control, you know. And one of my best friend, you know, that got to share with me through that, this spiritual journey, you know, this told me this, and I would just repeat it sometimes at night when I couldn't sleep, God loves you, and God is in control. And then this, that song, God is so good, and it's repeated that chorus. And yeah. So, anyways, I'm sorry, Pastor T. What were you saying though after that?
No. That God chastised those whom He loves, and that is a hard thing because we don't realize what that really means.
Mm-hmm.
And He loves us enough to not allow us to leave us the way we are.
Yes,
because
yes,
we get in our own way.
Mm-hmm.
We all get in our own way.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And it's a way of a man to think himself to be right in all that he does. You know, we always think that we're correct or right in whatever we are doing and saying. But when he shines a light on it, it's so interesting because if he didn't love us, he could just allow us to stay the way we are and then wait until we're before him and bring it out, which will cause a judgment. And so back to what I was trying to say about the courts of heaven is how the Satan stands to accuse the brethren. And it seems like you just really did go through one of those trials, you know, like you said in Job, where you were being accused. And not that the enemy had it. He had something on you, but God pulled you out of it. He allowed you to go through all of that so that he can bring you forth like gold, you know, as a testimony. It's nothing that other people that don't go through, but they don't want to talk about. A lot of people don't want to talk about the things that happen to them because of pride, you know. They don't want to bring it up. But everybody, if you're a true believer and a real Christian, you go through basically the same things that you're talking about. Might not be a back. It could be a heart. It could be jobs. It could be losing of houses. It could be all kinds of things.
Yes.
But mostly Christians have to drop. What is God getting to? Drop self. Dropping of the self and humbling yourself to him so he can use us. And getting rid of our own whatever we build up, because we build our own kingdom and thrones within, all of us do. And God has to tear down all the thrones and all the kingdoms we built so that he can be the King of Kings in every aspect of our lives.
That's right.
Interesting.
Oh, very, very good. So now how's your back now?
You know, thank God, brother. It is night and day. You know, I'm able to coach again. You know, back to my old self in regards to just the energy and the intensity that I like to coach with. I'm able to just, you know, do some of the activities that I was, you know, you take for granted. I want to say that I did before, but that you take for granted, you know, that you just think, oh, I'm always going to be able to put my socks on, you know, you know, do some of these, you know, mundane things and stuff like that. You know, now, I'm much more recovered from that. I don't have any of the symptoms that I've had, you know, over those 2 years, that I dealt with. So, you know, if my focus isn't no longer trying to get to a certain point. It's you know, there's a part of me that is definitely, you know, okay with where I'm at and not feeling as though I have to achieve anything physically beyond what I am, you know. So I just say that because, I'm way beyond where I was, brother, and God has blessed me by getting me back to a point where I can just enjoy being with my family and being content with where he has me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Yeah.
That's very good.
That's really good, man.
And
really good.
A lot of things.
Yeah. Beautiful, man. beautiful, and I know that spoke a language with a lot of people that's listening, you know, because sometimes we get a little caught up in our work. We can easily get sidetracked. One part that I like that you brought out is that during all of that that you were going through, all you could think about was me, you know. And I think that's one of the things that everybody do. When fear comes in, then you automatically me, you know. What am I going to do now? And for a man, a lot of people don't, maybe a lot of women don't understand, is that a man don't like to feel helpless, you know. Mm-hmm. And especially when you have a family, you're married, you have a family, you don't want to feel helpless. Mm-hmm. And to go through something like that, that's something, man. But the best part is that you learned something, and what you got out of it was a closer relationship with the Lord. Yeah, it was a beautiful thing that came out of that experience. Is there any advice that you would give somebody that you know, that might be on that road? Maybe they're kind of doing some of the same things that you were doing, not spending a lot of time with the family and just moving and pushing themselves or whatever.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to share?
I would say, you know, praying for discernment, praying that God will reveal himself in a manner that, you know, you've never experienced before, you know, when you're in the middle of something, as for myself, I try to give myself so many self-talks, so many, I'm going to get my way through this, you know, and someone to give me one of those pep talks as well, you know, a friend or a loved one or something like that, you know, and it helped for a second, but then I quickly started going down that rabbit hole again of woe is me, you know, and feeling bad for myself and worried about all the future and ramifications of what may happen if this didn't happen, or and what ifs didn't happen and whatnot, you know, or what if this did happen, you know, and you know, you have to, like I said, discernment, asking God to reveal himself in a way that you never experienced, and is knowing that the healing is if you're suffering physical, is more than just physical. The healing comes within the heart as well. And I would just say, you know, the closest I have been with God was in those darkest moments. And just the moments, days where I just couldn't sleep and just walking around and doing Pastor T and Pastor Cecilia, as you guys said, you know, as you guys were doing during your TNT time, quoting scripture, reading through the Bible. I'll read you a verse that really stuck out to me. It's in Second Corinthians chapter 1. And it's this here, I'll tell you, I was wanting to just get my mind off of things. And it was in February or so, and Angel needed to shop for some work clothes. And so, I was trying to just distract myself because my focus and my thoughts had been so convoluted with everything that was going on. And like I said, I couldn't sleep. And so my mind was just running everywhere, you know? And so I said, yeah, I want to go with you. I want to just get out of house. I want to just, you know, try and do something. And so we went to this department store, and I'm just walking the best I can around the store and its aisles and just trying to move. And as I'm doing that, I'm looking at my phone and my Bible app, and I'm reading through scripture. And I came to 2 Corinthians or chapter 1, verses 2, through 7. And it says, grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. And I read that verse and I kept on reading it over and over again as I'm literally walking in the aisles of the department store and just saying it underneath my breath. People were probably looking at me like I was crazy. And I said, God, you say grace and peace to me. It's like, I don't feel your grace, and I certainly don't have any peace. I was like, where is it, God? I need you. And then I read it down, and I looked down more, and I said, Father, you say that you will comfort those in their affliction, and that you're the God of all comfort, so that we can comfort those who are in any affliction. I just would feed it out in my mind. I'm like, God, like, I can't comfort anybody in my state right now. I was like, I need your comfort. I need your presence. I need your grace. I need your peace. I don't have it. I'm so desperate for you. I'm so desperate for you. And God, how can I be of any assistance to anyone if I can't get through this? And I repeated that over and over again. And you know, when you start to, you know, when you start to feel something and then you realize you have it, it reminds me of Philippians, you know, the peace that transcends all understanding.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden this peace started to come over me over the next, it didn't happen instantly, but over the next day, 2 days, 3 days, and all of a sudden started like, what is this? What's happening? And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a peace that transcends all understanding. God, you're giving it to me. You're giving your peace. You're giving your grace. You're comforting me, you know, it's all there, you know, and Pastor Cecilia, you said it, you know, we all have this journey, right? And I feel like when you look back at our life, we all have a personal Bible. You know, we get to read in the Old Testament and we get to see how God was faithful over and over again, despite his people not being faithful. We get to see, you know, in the New Testament, the apostles and the disciples and all the things they went through. And you know, and you talked about the 72 earlier, and when the 72, you know, came back and they were doing all these things, you know, and when he had sent the disciples out, and he told the disciples, don't take any money, don't go anywhere. You're going to just go and you're going to live on the people that you go about, and they tell you not to, you can't live here, you can't stay here, then knock your dust and move on to the next place. And then they came back talking about all the things that they had done. But then right after they had talked about all the amazing miracles that they had done in the name of Jesus, they come back. And then what do? They Jesus is feeding the 5,000. And he says, go feed them. And they go, how are we going to feed them? It's going to cost more money than we could possibly scrounge out. It's going to take a year's wage. And it was like, where did all your faith just go? You were just out there doing with nothing. I sent you out with nothing, and you were provided for. Don't you think I'm going to provide for you now? You know, and it's just we all have those stories in our personal lives too, and that's what I realized when I just looked back at God. You know, from when I was a young boy on my knees praying to God for salvation, and God got me through all those adolescent years, and then in our marriage. And the ups and downs in the marriage that come in the years of being married, and financial trauma and work trauma and relational trauma. I mean, and God is faithful through it all, and he gives you peace. He gives you comfort. He gives you all that you need, and so that you can then also lift up your fellow believers and not put your focus on yourself, but put your focus on God and put your focus on others. So...
No, it's not, because that type of peace, that's a miracle. And a lot of people, that's a miracle within itself, Dorian. To feel that peace is a miracle. And I once heard about that there's a fountain in heaven, and it's filled with Jesus' peace, and it just overflows into the earth. And so a lot of times when I have those times like you're talking about, when you're like, Lord, where are you? Or I need you. I think about that fountain and ask the Lord to give me that type of peace that surpasses the understanding of ourselves. But the other thing is, once I had someone pass on me and God gave me so much peace that I knew it was a miracle. I couldn't stand because it was a family member, a close family member. I couldn't do it on my own. Mm-hmm. So I understand when you say when you're going through something, and that's what I want all our listeners to hear, to call on the Lord and Jesus Christ that has that peace, that, you know,
yes,
goes past whatever you're going through, that he can place that. That's the peace the body of Christ needs for this end time. And I want to,
exactly.
I know we're going to close it up. So, Pastor T,
yeah,
are you going to pray?
We actually ran out of time. But, yes, our prayers is always for our listeners and people that tune in to the broadcast every week, and even our new people that tune in. And, Dorian, we want to thank you for being a part of this. You are a blessing to us and to many people, I'm sure.
We enjoyed you, Dorian.
Really enjoyed
you. Oh, God, I thoroughly enjoyed you, so I know our listeners did also. Because
well,
we
thank
love
you.
The truth
so,
and the reality.
Amen.
So
thank
you
God
so much
bless
for having
everybody.
Me on.
Our pleasure. And God bless everybody, and we will see you all again next week. Same time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless.